This week at Macy's, get an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 25 to 60% off cold weather gear for the whole family, 30 to 60% off select bedding and bath, plus 30% off select small appliances. And Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees at Macy's, Macy's Backstage, and Market by Macy's. More at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Finally Friday is being brought to you today by Major Spoilers VIPs, some of the coolest people on the planet supporting this show and making the world go around here at MajorSpoilers.com. We'd sure love your support. If you think our shows are worth a dollar an episode or less, head over to members.MajorSpoilers.com, click on that subscribe button, and show your support. Show us that you want to keep this content going week after week, including this show, Finally Friday. Good afternoon, everyone. Depending on where you're listening, wherever they may be listening, I don't know. The Alpha Geek servers, Todd had sent me a message earlier saying something about the servers may be up or down, or I don't know what's going on. It looks like I'm connected. So if you're listening, hello. And wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are. And we can be together as we wrap up the week and celebrate Finally Friday. Let us kick some things off, though, with some news. See if we can get this going. Maybe, maybe not. Ah, here we go. Got to push the right button. Aha! Today is the 50th day of release for Star Wars The Force Awakens. It's expected to cross the $900 million mark at the domestic box office today. It's the only film in history to reach this milestone. In addition, on Saturday, Star Wars The Force Awakens is expected to hit the $2 billion mark worldwide, becoming only the third film ever to do so, and just the second to do it in its original release. Now, over the course of its eight-week run, Star Wars The Force Awakens has set numerous other records, including biggest domestic preview gross, biggest opening day domestically, biggest domestic second weekend, biggest domestic third weekend. I'm going to bet biggest domestic fourth weekend, even though it's not listed here. Biggest opening week domestically, biggest opening weekend in 18 territories, fastest film to $1 billion globally, doing it in only 12 days, and the biggest film of all time in the U.S. and the U.K. If it's still playing at your local theater, hey, might as well go check it out and throw some more money Disney's direction. If you didn't see the news earlier this week, The Flash will be paying a visit to Supergirl on March 28th, and everyone couldn't be happier, including executive producer Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg, who shared the news earlier this week by saying in a joint press release, quote, "We are so incredibly excited to announce something that we have been dreaming of and been planning since we started making Supergirl. The Flash and Supergirl are teaming up. We want to thank Grant Gustin for taking the time to come visit this set on top of his already busy work schedule, and all of the folks at CBS, the CW, Warner Brothers, and DC for working this out. And finally, thanks to the fans and journalists who have kept asking for this to happen, it's our pleasure and hope to create an episode worthy of everyone's enthusiasm and support." Right now, there's no word on what the storyline will focus on, and right now it looks like this is a one-way trip. In the past, we've seen characters cross back and forth in a multi-part story, but so far it looks like this story will be contained to the Monday night, March 28th, Supergirl release. Let's talk about more DC stuff. DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Who else might be coming to DC Legends of Tomorrow this season? DC released a teaser image earlier this week asking fans to check out Rip Hunter's study from DC's Legends of Tomorrow. On the shelf could clearly be seen Sergeant Rock's helmet, Dr. Midnight's bombs, Sandman's gas mask, Hourman's hourglass, Ma Hunkel's helmet, and a wanted poster for Jonah Hex. In fact, you could see both the helmet and the Jonah Hex poster on this week's episode. We already know that Jonah Hex will be appearing on an upcoming episode of the CW's time-traveling show, but does the appearance of the JSA trophies mean that we'll see them traveling to the 1930s and 40s to meet up with the Justice Society of America? What about Sergeant Rock? The television show just spent three episodes in 1975, with 1986 as their next stop. It would be very interesting if the team spent two or three episodes in each time period to stretch those budget dollars as far as they can go. And remember, kids, Hawkman was a founding member of the JSA, which means Kindra and Carter might be back together before we know it. Oh, spoiler. If you missed the news today, LEGO unveiled the Ecto-1 and Ecto-2 set from the upcoming Ghostbusters movie. The updated Ecto-1 will feature all four of the female Ghostbusters, and best of all, they all fit inside the car comfortably, something the current LEGO Ideas Ecto-1 can't do. The Ecto-2 features Kevin, played by Chris Hemsworth in the movie, as he rides a motorcycle, but what's with those red eyes? Looks like Gozar the Gozerian has a different body to possess in this movie. The Ecto-1 and Ecto-2 set is coming out this summer, but this time, no word on cost. And as we get the Major Spoilers hotline warmed up, let's head into our final news. It's gaming news. WizKids has announced its latest DC Dice Master set will feature characters from the Green Arrow and Flash. Of course, it's a comic book series, but with the popularity of the television show, this makes perfect sense. The expansion features classic and modern characters including Jay Garrick, Barry Allen, Green Arrow, and Felicity Smoke, and villains like Gorilla Grodd, Merlin, Clayface, and Giganta. The Dice Master set will be released a little differently than the ones in the past. Instead of getting a starter set and the collector box and all of this stuff, they're going to release the Green Arrow and Flash Dice Masters in booster pack form, in the foil pack form. Of course, you can still buy a gravity feed to get all 30 of the new characters, and if you do, WizKids is offering an alternate version of the Flash as a not-for-sale giveaway item. We're going to have to wait until August for the Green Arrow and the Flash foil packs, but we only have to wait until March for the world's finest Dice Masters collection to arrive, and that's just on the DC side. We'll see more Marvel Dice Masters in May, and I just put my order in today for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles set that is coming out shortly. So there you go. There's some of your news this week, and now you know what to do, dear reader. The phone lines are open, 785-727-1939, or you can call me Steven_Schleicher. There's the name there on the screen. No Ashley this week. She is out busy doing some other things, some personal things that she had to get taken care of today. So we don't have her, but we do have you. So give us a call, 785-727-1939. Let's see what we could talk about. Well, one thing that we can talk about is podcast recording this week, some apologies and whatnot going on. So we actually have had a very busy podcasting week this week. On Monday, we recorded two episodes of Munchkin Land for upcoming releases. Then on Tuesday, we recorded two top fives and the Major Spoilers podcast. You've heard the Major Spoilers podcast come out. It was already out this week. And then on Wednesday, we recorded more critical hit episodes. Thursday, we were supposed to go see Hail Caesar, the new Coen Brothers movie, so that we could do it for Zach on film. And then later that night, we were supposed to do Dueling Reviews. Matthew and I were going to do that. This is where things get really frustrating. And if you've listened to Zach on film, especially the one about how AMC ruined Christmas for me, well, they did it again with Hail Caesar. So last week, Zach and I both independently went to the AMC Theater's website for our movie theater here to find out what movies were coming out this week. And sure enough, it said Hail Caesar, 7 p.m. Thursday night. We were like, great, we're going to go buy our tickets. We'll get there to the theater. We'll come back here. We'll do the review, have Zach on film up. Then I can do Dueling Reviews with Matthew. And all will be great with the world. Well, Wednesday afternoon, I get a phone call from one Mr. Zach. And he's like, hey, man, bad news. I'm like, oh, thinking that maybe Zach had something to do and got called out of town for some big important thing he's doing for the city. No, man. Turns out AMC decided that they wouldn't bring Hail Caesar to Hayes. Now, granted, we're a small town, but I guarantee you, you will easily be able to fill up their smallest theater for a week with a Coen Brothers film, especially with college kids who all love Coen Brothers movies. And Zach even called the theater to talk to him about it, and they said, well, maybe next week in an extended release. We don't know, and no one said anything. So Zach told me at the end of basically it was the end of the day. And I said, well, we'll just have to punt Zach on film this week since we don't have time to see another movie. And you're be leaving town Friday morning. So we had to punt that. Interesting exchange on Twitter today with AMC Theaters, because the Hail Caesar poster from Francesco Francavilla went up for sale on Mondo Press today, or the Mondo website. I was able to grab one, but I said, man, now if only AMC could get their act together and get the movie to come to here. And AMC responded back, where do you live and everything? And I told him, I said, hey, the movie was scheduled to be here last week. You yanked it. And then the person says, yes, but Deadpool tickets are on sale. Stupid AMC. I know Deadpool tickets are on sale. That's what we're reviewing next week. And I said, Deadpool isn't the question. It's Hail Caesar. And then she tweeted back, oh, well, it's not opening this weekend, which it is. It's opening this weekend. Already brought in $500,000 on Thursday nights, overnights. But maybe we'll release it next week to Hayes. No, I don't think so. This is, you know, I have had horrible experience with our local theater change, and we had hopes, high hopes, that things were going to be different once AMC bought them. And then, of course, I had my Christmas fiasco with AMC Theaters, and now they're the owners of our theater, and they're already pulling this stunt, so I don't have high hopes. But, Stephen, you're saying, hey, what about Dueling Reviews? Where's that at? Well, dear listener, if you are a frequent fan of Dueling Reviews, you know that every week we tell you, hey, next week we're going to review this book. Well, again, we were scheduled to record Dueling Review at 10 o'clock last night. Earlier in the day, long before the AMC reveal had happened, I was looking for Superman, whatever it is, The Coming of the Superman, whatever it is, the Neil Adams book. And I went looking for it. I went to the comic book store. Not there. Went on to Comixology. Not there. Started digging around on the DC site and some other places. Turns out this book had also been bumped until February 24th. I don't know if it's because Neil Adams is behind or they didn't want two Neil Adams books released in the same week because Batman Europa is out this week. I think it's issue 3 or 4. But there was no book. And I had messaged Matthew and I said, well, there's no book this week. Why don't we just skip it so we don't have to record late on Thursday night? And Matthew was fine by that. And then it was several hours later that we weren't going to be doing the movie. And so it was like, well, I already told Matthew to take the night off. We'll just skip that show. Tonight, though, for those of you who are fans of Flashback, we will have a new Flashback episode. Matthew and I are going to be recording that. And we'll get that up onto the VIP site for those of you who are VIP members. Matthew says in the chat, that's some grade A BS from AMC right there. Oh, yeah, this is the second time that AMC has pulled a bait and switch on me. The first was when we were promised, when we went to the AMC theaters up in Kansas City so we could see the 70mm projection of Hateful Eight, only to get there and find out that as the movie started, no, this is the digital projection, not a film projection, because apparently there was something wrong with their projector, in quotes. And then their apology was, oh, well, here's a ticket. Here's a ticket to come back and see us. A lot of good that would do me at that theater. And now this thing with hey man, we're going to be bringing Hail Caesar to you and then not do it. Again, total crap. James is on the phone line. What's going on, man?
Hey man, sounds like you know, Groundhog doesn't see his shadow, and you get two things a bumping.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It wasn't the plan. I mean, last night if we had gone to see Hail Caesar, you would have only missed one show in our normal podcast lineup this week, but instead you're ending up missing two, and I apologize for that.
Oh, it's okay. Steven, we those of us in the know, in the circle, in the VIP, understand stuff happens.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't want you to beat yourself up over it. I don't want Matthew to beat themselves up over it. It just happens.
I'm irritated because I was looking at the comment sections from many of our podcasts. And of course, I'm reading the Critical Hit one, and someone shared the comment, oh, this show is okay, but it comes out very irregularly. And I'm like,
oh,
what?
Yeah,
the
I
show
saw
comes
that.
Out the show comes out 50 weeks a year.
It
and
is
that's
the most
irregular?
Consistent show. It is the most, honestly, you can set your watch by
yeah.
Critical Hit.
I would say
how consistent that show
the
is.
Shows that we are most consistent on are Critical Hit and the Major Spoilers podcast. Munchkin Land may skip a week here and there. Top Five, if I'm not up on my back and forth schedule, it can skip a week. But when it comes to those other two, man, we are super regular. You have a little kid there today. Jim, hello.
This is Danny, and she is. Hold on.
Yeah, I think you're.
You know?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry,
you're kind
that.
Of breaking up there.
Yeah, my stupid thing cut out.
No, that's all right.
One of my friends said, "Hi, Mr. Steven. Hi, Mr. Steven." She and her twin brother are sick this week.
Oh
so
yeah,
this
boy.
This is you're getting bumped. You're getting bump stuff, and I'm getting sick kids, which is always entertaining.
Oh,
so.
On top of that, school was closed for 2 days, so I had kids for 2 days in a row. So,
oh well, hey, they didn't close Dilly Bupkis up here.
No, I'm sorry.
I kind of wish they had.
So what's on your mind this week?
Well, you know, I read, I know it's, I think it's out, it was out this week, was Velvet. Are you keeping up with Velvet?
No, I'm not. I haven't read any of the issues.
Oh, Steven, you would love this series.
Okay.
This is a good series. It's 1970s spy.
Oh, I mean, cool.
Is this
the one with the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, her dad disappears, or her dad disappeared a long time ago.
No.
Okay, this is not an Ed Brubaker book.
It's a Brubaker book, but the end that killed the fiance slash husband.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's really, really good.
Okay.
So that came out this week, and I really encourage people to go look at that one. Oh, hold on. All right, let me cut out, Steven. I apologize
because
I got the other one that got in trouble.
So. Okay. All right, you too, man. Bye. And now you know, ladies and gentlemen, why we didn't do... There was supposed to be a second interview this week on the Major Spoilers podcast with Brian Clevenger, who does Atomic Robo. It's been a year since he's been on the show, exactly a year since he was on the show, and I was going to check in with him. We'll be doing a check-in with him next week, but because I had the kids at home this week and their yellings and screamings, I couldn't necessarily record an interview with that. But, Jim, I understand completely what's going on with you right there. For some reason, I want to say that I've read Velvet. Not read Velvet, but I have read the comic book Velvet. But it's not triggering in my head right now. So I will have to check this out. James recommends it. I will read Volume 1 before The Living End this weekend. And we'll see how that goes. Next week on the Major Spoilers podcast, of course, we will be reviewing, Scarlet Couture from, Dez Taylor from Titan Comics. And that should be a lot of fun. We'll see how that goes. But until then, 785-727-1939 or Steven_Schleicher on Skype. Give me a call and let me know what's going on in your world. Yes. Comment section here says, well, we had Starplex, Olin. Olin says we have a Starplex theater nearby. Starplex is what we used to have until they got bought by AMC. And Starplex was the worst. I mean, it's like they didn't even care about anything. So we were really excited when AMC bought them because now it meant maybe more regular movies, more popular movies. Maybe they would change their processes of doing things, but seems to be a little bit of the same. So let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who is this? Is this Fabian?
This is Fabian. Hi,
Fabian,
Steven.
Long time no hear from you. How are things going over in Germany?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
things are pretty good. Thank you.
Good. What's on your mind this week?
First of all, it seemed to go better for the AMC theater. You and Zach have been singing some praises about the changes, and now it's turning worse.
Yeah, I was really excited. Well, so that kind of just shows you how bad the Starplex theater was when it was under the Starplex management. But AMC just has been doing some weird janky stuff in the last month. This has been a month and a half over a month since all this happened. And it's just odd and disappointing. So
strange. Well. I think your camera is better this week.
Oh yes. I'm actually using a new camera that I bought over the holiday. I'd mentioned this on a previous show, or maybe it was a VIP, that I went ahead and upgraded to a 4K camera, a little bit better sensor and everything. I believe it's a Sony camera. It's better than the $200 one that I had from the store. And so, yeah, this one is much, much better as far as clarity and resolution. I like it a lot, and I would like to get a couple more for the Munchkinland video, but that's going to have to wait until we get a few more VIPs before I can do that.
I didn't catch up on last week's episode because you were talking Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, right,
And I didn't want to get spoiled because I didn't get to that.
And are you all caught up now?
No, I'm scheduled to watch the last two Flash and the two Legends of Tomorrow tomorrow.
Okay.
with some friends.
All right. Well, then you'll have a flashback waiting for you.
I'll have two flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, there you go. There you go. So yeah, some positive stuff out of all this.
It's always really nice. And the guys I'm watching them with, they're no comic book readers. They don't know anything about it. And I had to tell them what the turtle actually was in the comics.
Oh, cool.
Because you had mentioned him before on mm-hmm. flashback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
great.
That's really, really great. I have a question.
Okay, go for it. I'll see if I can answer it.
I'm really getting to the hot phase of launching my own podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I've built the feed already.
Okay.
And I've gotten a feed burner address. So to keep the feed burner address and maybe change around something in the background. Somebody recommended to do that. And I think my cover art is not that great. I have noticed that your Major Spoilers Master Feed
mm-hmm.
picture mm-hmm. is so crisp and nice, and I wanted to know if you had a secret to share.
Yes, his name is he's on Twitter. I believe it's W Nathans is his Twitter handle. And he does a fantastic job of doing a lot of our art lately. So he did the flashback logo that we use on the flashback articles. He has done, he did the Munchkin Land stats article graphic that was up a couple of weeks ago. He's done some other logo treatment stuff for us. He did the current Zach on Film logo is by him. I'm trying to think what else he has done for us. He's just really, really great. And I thank him as much as I can when he delivers awesome art. In fact, he did the Modern City logo for Critical Hit.
Yeah.
He did that as well. So he is fantastic. And all he does is he never signs his last name, so I can't tell you his last name. Whenever he sends me an email, it's just Nathan. So, Nathan, wherever you are, you're doing a fantastic job, and I love every time you contribute something.
Yes, he is. But I was thinking more about the resolution side mm-hmm. of the image. Because I have a great picture to use,
mm-hmm.
but I think the image is downgraded. No, what's the word?
Too compressed or something like that.
Too compressed. Yeah, and it's not. Maybe it's it is because it's not as simple.
It could
as
be.
Yeah.
You know, Apple right now requires that your image art be 1400 by 1400 pixels.
Yeah.
So you need to start at that.
And I took a 2000 by 2000 one at a 300
DPI. Well, that should be fine. You know, a lot of times when, and I don't know what your colors are, but oftentimes when you have colors, they can bleed over onto each other. My guess is that he used Illustrator to create the art for the Major Spoilers Podcast Network Master Feed logo. And so that's going to be a lot sharper, even after you rasterize it and change it into RGB JPEG or PNG or something like that. My guess is he did it in Illustrator, but if you're doing it only in Photoshop or bit application like that, then yeah, you may have noticed your stuff looks a little softer.
Yeah, my the friend that built the picture for me, she's a professional, so she started out with vector mm-hmm. images,
mm-hmm.
but I had to change some things myself in the last step of the image. Okay. So
that's
maybe
probably where it's at then.
Yeah, that's my fault. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll talk to her again. But it's exciting to start. You have about 15 shows with nearly 10 years of knowledge on your belt.
Yeah.
And I'm just starting out, and I'm I was shocked to hear that somebody said Critical Hit was irregular.
It's just funny. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's classic. So either someone was joking around and being ironic, or they were just trolling, looking to get somebody agitated. But it was just like, okay, whatever, man. If you think that it's irregular because we come out and we miss like 2 or 3 weeks out of the entire year, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I know that there are some podcasts that come out even on holidays, but the one thing that I've noticed over the 8+ years that we've been doing podcasts, well, actually 10+ years that I've been doing podcasts, it's that during the holiday, during a major worldwide holiday like Christmas or New Year, people just aren't on the internet. They're out doing family things. And for most of the world, when you're talking about Europe and America, South America, the ones that celebrate those predominantly, that's where most of our audience is. Same way with Thanksgiving in North America. I mean, our numbers drop dramatically over that weekend. So really, there's not a point in trying to release something. And then if there is a problem with your podcast, especially through an iTunes feed, Apple takes basically a month off from November to Christmas. So there's no one there to update feeds if anything goes wrong. So that's why for some people, you may see that your iTunes feed just kind of stalls for a week or two. It's because, or you may have submitted something, a new show or something, and it hasn't shown up. It's because they're on vacation.
I'm just really excited, and I'm still not all up on the iTunes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't used iTunes at all before.
Right.
And I hope maybe I see. Just I don't know yet.
Well, who is your hosting provider?
I think it's just a German hosting provider, so you wouldn't know them.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
And I know you have some podcasts on through Libsyn or something.
Yeah, we host all of our shows through Libsyn, Libsyn, and they're great because they create the feed for you. They've got basically a blog where you can host your show and put show notes and everything up there. They're really, really good. So you were curious about, you know, your feed and creating your feed and all that stuff. You don't even have to go through FeedBurner for that. They create it all for you, and you can deliver it that way. We have the top end service, but I want to say their lower end service is like less than $20 a month. For the storage, I think is what it was, if I remember. Yeah, $5 per month for their plans and pricing. So there's some good stuff in there. It depends on how your show is set up. But if you've got, you know, 4 shows a week at, you know, 10 megabytes or something like that, well, there you could get 50 megs easy. I remember when we first started, I think we were at their $15 plan, and then it quickly escalated up to their $75 plan. But they've got everything for you. They create your podcast RSS feed. They have the HTML media player. They can create an app for you if you want them to create a custom mobile app. They've got a lot of things, and I'm very pleased with them.
My stuff is only on the website itself.
Mm-hmm.
I built a WordPress site.
Right.
And there's a plugin from a German developer called Podlove Player, and I hope it's okay just going from the website's traffic.
It might be. I would encourage you. There is a podcast that Libsyn puts out. What is it called? Even if you're not a Libsyn customer. It's called The Feed, FEED. That's the official Libsyn podcast. If you listen to that, they have a lot of tips on there for just podcasters in general and what to watch out for and things to do and these kinds of things to help promote your podcast. So you might want to subscribe to that and listen to it, because that might also help you out as well.
I will. I think from all my experience, the German podcast scene is really different.
I'm sure it is. Yeah,
I'm so used to getting my content weekly and punctual, like the Critical Hit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the podcasters I've encountered don't really do that. They're just creating whenever they want to, and not really building the fan base for their stuff.
Right, right. And it just depends. I mean, everybody does it differently. And there's nothing that says that you have to have something that comes out on a weekly basis. There's nothing that says you have to have something that comes out on a monthly basis.
Sure.
There is a podcast that I've been listening to, The Secret History of Hollywood, where this guy, I think he maybe only put out like maybe 6 episodes last year for the whole year. But each one of them have been over 3 hours long. One of them was 8.5 hours long.
Oh,
so yeah, it's really interesting when you get into that side of it. So it's whatever you want to do and however you want to put it out. I mean, you just do what's right and natural for you. And if you want to start out just doing it, you know, once a month, just set yourself up a schedule of doing it once a month.
I think I've learned a lot from you over the years. So
that's scary.
I want to do it weekly and at a specific day.
Right.
And we've already recorded like 8 episodes in advance.
Good.
So
it's part of your weekly schedule.
Not yet.
Oh,
not
okay.
Yet.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Well, that's what if you're wanting to hit that weekly schedule, and I always say, always try to do 10 episodes first before you release anything. Try to make that part of your routine of let's do this weekly, so that by the time you're at your 10th episode, you've been doing it for almost 3 months, and now it's part of your routine to where, hey, every whatever day of the week in time, you guys sit down and record it and then edit and release it or whatever. That will help you out tremendously as well.
We'll need to get a specific day, but so far it's been either in the evening on a work day, or we've recorded on Sundays and we can do 2 or 3 episodes.
That can also be helpful too, especially if you have something that's evergreen content, meaning that it's content that can be released at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yours is a German language podcast, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And I've heard one of them, I believe. You sent me one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard the one about Nerdtacula.
Yeah.
And that was for the feed of a friend of mine.
Ah, okay.
But now it's my project with a nice lady of another German podcast, Petra.
Cool.
So,
and what's the topic? What are the topics going to be about?
I don't know if it's a real type of podcast yet, but it's made up to be a type of podcast in these parts. It's a rewatch podcast.
Oh, yeah,
so we go and watch Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, and talk about every episode.
Yeah, those are really popular, those are. If I ever get the time, I would still love to do a Rockford Files rewatch podcast.
Yeah. And
just goes through every episode.
Yeah. I have never seen one episode of Rockford Files, but I would so listen to that.
Yeah. Well, if you have Netflix, it's available on Netflix. So
really?
I don't know if it's in, I don't know if Netflix is the same all over the world. You know, if they release something in America, if it shows up over there, but Rockford Files definitely available on the American Netflix service.
And you know my secret, I use a VPN.
I know you use a VPN, which I'm sure, you know, here's the other thing that I discovered over the holiday. I don't think Netflix cares who is logging in onto your account, because over the last month, my oldest son, who watches Netflix a lot, he's like, I looked at his shows that he'd been watching. I'm like, why are you watching this show? And this show is not appropriate. And why is this one there? And he's like, I'm not watching it. And so finally we went in a couple of days ago. My wife came and said, well, there's some weird shows showing up on my feed too. So I went in and there's somebody from New York who somehow had gotten our login and password. and had been watching shows all over on his or her or their devices, TVs, PlayStations, all sorts of stuff. So, and when I tried to...
That's weird.
I know. And I contacted Netflix about it. I said, look, I've disconnected all of the devices. I have changed my password. But here are these IPs coming in from New York that are accessing the content. And I'm concerned because maybe they have access to more than just my password. And they're like, nah, don't worry about it. They don't have access to your credit card number or anything like that. So just don't worry about it beyond just changing your password. And I was like, wow, that kind of response really tells me that they don't care how many people have your login and password and who's watching. So, you know, if you've got, you know, somebody's account, go for it.
Yeah. I'm using my German account.
Good.
It works. I realized that when I was at Nerdtacular that I could go through the German Netflix app on my phone to access the English archives or whatever databases. So that's nice. That is the way I watch Buffy for the show.
Cool.
So I hope they don't block me or something.
Oh, I'm seeing Jarmo says Netflix has started to track VPN and blocking them is a huge problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's hope that it stays with you.
Then I'm going to buy the DVDs, so I don't really care that much. I will do all the 145 episodes or so.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right,
I won't take up more of your time.
All right,
and
Fabian.
It's getting back to the show. Thank you.
All right. Have a great week. Bye. It's always nice when Fabian calls in. It's so good to see the growth of his podcast. And apparently some of you others have a podcast, Life's a Pitch. From Matt Speaks Words, only started growing any of its meager fan base when we started releasing on a set day every week. That's, I think, is one of the key things is be consistent, be regular, and make the show as long as it can be. I've said before on the show and on other places that if your podcast is 3 hours long, I don't want to listen to it because I feel like you're infringing on other people's podcasts. Because if I'm listening to your 3 hour podcast, I can't listen to someone else's podcast. I could listen to three podcasts or two podcasts in the time that one podcast comes out. And occasionally Major Critical Hit will have a really long 3 hour podcast because of a battle or something. But I listen to The Secret History of Hollywood and I listen to a 7.5 hour episode, and it's part 3 of 3 of Alfred Hitchcock. And it was fascinating. It was well put together and it was well worth that time. So maybe if your show can sustain that length and it's engaging that entire time, then yes, go for something that's really long. But if it's not, then boy, you're really, I think, hurting other people. And there are a couple of podcasts still today when I stopped listening to really long podcasts and unsubscribing from them. I went back and checked one out and it's still 3.5 hours long. And it's still making the same mistakes time after time. And it's sad to see that happen. So, some people have asked me on Twitter and other places, hey, do you have any tips or articles about podcasting? Yes, if you go over to stevenschleicher.com, you can find some stuff over there that I've written. Major Spoilers, I think I've shared those articles on Major Spoilers as well. Look for Podcasting 101 or So You Want a Podcast and check those out. Jess says, I like Dan Carlin. I love them, but they're 4 hour lectures. Yes, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History is another one that I listen to over the holiday break because I am essentially right now completely caught up on podcasts. And the World War I lecture, or the episode that he just released, was really good. I really enjoyed that because it really talked about how World War I had this buildup to leading into World War II and everything like that. So I like that. Matt Speaks Word says, I couldn't agree more. We cut it down to about 45 minutes every week. It's tough for an improv comedy show. Actually, I think if you can keep tight comedy going, that's really great. But given it's a movie, it's about movie pitches, brevity is the name of the game. Correct. I agree. Good job. All right. I may check that out, Matthew. So and the rest of you go check it out and tell me if it's worth my time. What's it called again? Movie, let me go back up here. Life's a Pitch. There you go. First, I thought it was a baseball podcast. And then, of which case, you're only there for a couple months out of the year. 11 months out of the year. 785-727-1939. That is the number that you want to call. Some great phone calls so far. If you have something to share or something to say, I'd certainly love to hear what you have to say this week. Something else I was going to say. Oh, people had been asking about Mason with his spelling bee. He did have the spelling bee, the county spelling bee. He made it into like the third round, went out on the third round. I forget which word he had, but after the way he said it, he took a pause. It was like P-E-R something, and he paused, and then he picked right back up with the R again and said R, so they were interpreting that as two-letter R's instead of one, so he went out on that. But the kid that got first place at his school went on to win the county spelling bee, and so he'll be representing at the state. So that's pretty cool. We're pretty proud of him. We never expected him to get that far, not as because we don't think he's smart or anything, but just because there was very little time for him to prepare. And we told him that this year can serve as a baseline so that wherever he goes out this year, he can strive to be better next year and try to beat that. So next year he has to go out in round four at least. But he's already excited about practicing that for next year. So what else do we have this week? Some interesting things going on. I don't think, they hired a bunch of people for the Legion series. The Fox Network series. Dan Stevens will be playing David, a.k.a. Legion, in the X-Men character TV series for the FX network. Aubrey Plaza will be playing Lenny. Jean Smart will be playing Melanie. And Rachel Keller will be playing Sid. This is just a pilot episode. And we'll see if it goes any further than that. I don't have anything else really that this week to go on to it. So it's really up to you guys to give me a call at Stephen_Schleicher on Skype or 785-727-1939. How do you prepare for a spelling bee? You can actually go up to, I believe it's Spelling Bee Championship website, whatever it is, and they give you a list of words. Like it's almost, I want to say almost 200 words that you can practice on. Some of those may or may not be used in the actual spelling bee, but essentially, yeah, that's what it is. It's not flashcards, but it's just like, spell this. And he runs through the process of spelling those things. But yeah, reading the dictionary, memorizing suffixes, prefixes. If you understand where the word originates from, like a German word would use a different IE combination than maybe another country, that can help you out as well. So yeah, we're going to practice and see how he does next year. Matthew is on the line right now. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
How's it going with you? How is your video shows going for YouTube?
I have stalled a little bit this week because my local convention.
Oh, right. You got a game convention coming up.
That's coming up. There's been a lot of, it's kind of coming down to crunch time. So there's, of course, lots of planning drama and things. All these little fires have to be put out.
Are you the main organizer?
Not technically, no.
Oh, okay.
It's a committee of about 7 or 8 people that, with varying degrees of stuff that they have to do. I'm the one who's mostly in charge of any physical assets, like the games. I have the bulk of those. I'm in charge of the library and sorting and organization.
Oh, cool.
Some of that kind of stuff.
What is the name of the convention again?
Great Plains Game Festival.
Great Plains Game Festival. This is taking place up in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
When is that? That's like 2 weeks from now?
The 26th through the 28th.
There you go. 26th through the 28th.
Hopefully we won't be
21 days away.
Hopefully we won't be snowed in.
Oh yeah, I don't think so. You guys didn't get as much snow as we did you?
It was a foot, I guess, probably.
Oh really? Wow, you did get a lot. No, we only had at most 5 inches here.
Oh yeah, we had a pretty good. Cause we're not quite as far west. Cause I used to live out, actually about a half an hour from Colby.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you're at Colby and go straight up, you'll run through my hometown.
Yeah. Boy, I'm sorry.
Yeah. out there, it's like you said, the high plains, it's right. Dry. So there's not as much, it's just wind piles everything up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the eastern part of the state though, it can drop pretty hard.
Yep. Yep. So that's taking place in Lincoln. In 21 days, February 26th through the 28th. So go check that out if you're up in that area. What else is going on with you?
Trying to catch up on some of the writing, getting some games played, some new stuff. That's
what is the game that you like the most right now?
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun with Valeria Card Kingdoms.
Ah, okay.
If you've played Machikoro?
No, I have not. Everyone keeps saying I was in a game store the other several weeks ago, and someone comes up to me and goes, "Are you Steven Schleicher?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, you got to play this Machikoro game." And I was like, "Okay, I don't know who you are, but okay, I'll write that down." Brad and Rob have played it and like it a lot.
It's kind of, a lot of people have compared it to kind of like Settlers of Catan without a board. Like somebody will roll the dice,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody looks at all of their stuff. So like in Catan, when you roll, a six, mm-hmm. all the sixes pay out.
Ah, okay.
And that's the bulk of the game. You roll, everybody rolls, on your turn, everybody figures it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some, I get paid only on my turn. Everybody gets paid on everybody's turn kind of a thing, or I get paid on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some of those kind of cards. Well, the Valeria has some really cool art. It was just kickstarted, so and fulfilled last couple of weeks, and a new Kickstarter for the expansion's already come out.
Ah, neat. I saw that there is a Kickstarter for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles board game from IDW Publishing that I went ahead and jumped in on. And I only went in on it because from the pieces that they've shown and the fact that it has these tiles that you lay out for the board game, it instantly made me feel like, oh, this is their take on the Cryptozoic Ghostbusters game. And so I was very interested in seeing how that played out. It's already funded. I think it funded within 24 hours of its release. It's already well into their third, the third tier of stretch goals. But that looks really interesting.
Modular boards are pretty popular now. Mm-hmm. The Ghostbuster ones has a lot of resemblance to Zombicide, which was one of the first ones from Cool Mini or Not. And then everybody, IDW has such good work with their licensed properties.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm excited about this, because I believe Cryptozoic had to work with IDW because of the artwork that's being used in the piece. In the Ghostbusters piece. So and I know that Kevin Eastman is involved in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. So I think it's going to be a win-win all around. I just, have you played Ghostbusters? Do you have that game?
I have not. I have a bunch of the big modular games already.
Okay.
So I haven't, I've seen it at our store I see there was a couple copies, and it didn't seem to last very long.
It is a very hard game, I think, especially, and I think it's meant to be this way, that as you start at the lower levels, it's pretty easy to match your goal. But then if you don't plan ahead, you get up onto that last boss of that scenario, and you're going to be hurting pretty bad. And we found that out in the last couple of weeks when we were playing Ghostbusters for Munchkin Land, that it is frustratingly hard in some scenarios.
That's the kind of the mark of a good cooperative game. If it wasn't all that long ago when basically the community was kind of like, okay, look, if you guys are going to do cooperatives in the quantity that you are,
mm-hmm.
make them hard.
Right.
Because the ones that were like, oh, well, we figured it out and now we can beat it. It's like mm-hmm. on farm level, when you're playing MMOs and stuff, you go through, it's like, oh,
well, that's whatever. after we finished the whole scenario, the whole campaign, that's kind of what we realized, is that instead of just trying to rush to get the goal at the lower levels, it's farm some ghosts so you can get your XP built up so that when you hit that final one, you can take on the boss a little bit easier. But it was to the point at the end of this one Ghostbusters scenario, the final one, I was just like, and I think Brad and I were both the same way of, there's no way we're going to win this. We should end it. And Rob and Brian were simply like, oh, no, I think there's a way around this, and stretched it on for another hour and a half beyond what it should have been. But it's an interesting game. The other thing that I noticed about those games, and maybe is, it seems like because it tells you to set up pieces in particular positions, it's almost like once you've played it a few times, it seems like there should be an easy way to clear those boards. Like, here's our strategy that we should approach. And no matter what, as long as you're following that same strategy, you can just blow right through it.
There's some replayability and some kind of tactics building where, like, you know, they have the, this is your beginner scenario. And as you go through different combinations of characters or abilities, like as you're building your Ghostbuster in that particular game, you know, you get abilities as you level up and you're like, well, if you take this and I take this one, and then I think Rob would probably be able to number crunch that.
Yeah. You know, we had a pretty good team. We had pretty good team dynamic going on. We just didn't realize that, we all need to be at max level by the time we go into this final encounter, because most of us weren't. I think Rob was, Brian hit it about halfway through the final encounter, and I was only still at, I think, midway through level 3.
And then the nice thing that is, once you would have figured out what that tactic is for that particular scenario or setup, you just shuffle everything around, change out all the different stuff that pops out, and then, all right, now you guys are back to square one.
Yeah. Like, I understand up on their website, at the Cryptozoic website, or maybe it's online, they have random scenario generators where you can, which makes the game go even longer, as far as, you know, giving it some replayability.
Yeah. Replayability is kind of the hot button. Now with the games, I don't know very many people who, like, when you pay $70 to $100 for a game, you want to be able to play it more than a couple of times. Yeah. But a lot of people, like, I have a big enough collection, like there's maybe 10 games that I have played more than 10 times because I have, you know, too many of them to get through than a couple of times. And so when games like Pandemic Legacy, which has a limited play, it's once you've played through it 24 times, if you don't do very well, that's as max the number of times, then you probably can't play it again because you already know what's going to happen.
Oh, right, right.
There's a lot of narrative stories. Mm-hmm. Time Stories is one where it's sort of like a choose your own adventure kind of a thing. There's all these different things.
Right.
You go back in time and go through. It's like Clue kind of, but really involved with a story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you've played it, even if you played it with a bunch of other people, you still kind of know, at least at the beginning, if I go this way, this is the trail it goes down.
Yeah.
You'd have to be like, well, I have to go left now.
Yeah. And I guess that's my problem with a lot of board games, is after about that sixth or seventh time, I'm kind of done with it because I kind of know how the game works and know what to expect. And that can be kind of disappointing, which is why I like games like Munchkin, because it really depends on the people that you're playing with. Depends on what the outcome of the game is. But, you know, I have hopes about this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. And Robin, Brad had said something the other day about there is a Cthulhu version of Pandemic that's coming out. And it's by the same makers, but instead of going to race to stop diseases, you're going to close the portals and stop the great old ones from coming through.
I think I seen that on one of the tweets, because I follow some of the board game publisher tweets and stuff.
Yeah, I told them to as soon as that. And then there's a Kickstarter that starts on February 9th. Which one is that? It's the final Sentinels of the Universe game has their Kickstarter on February 9th.
Yeah, they just put out a Villains of the Multiverse just came out, and we get to play the bad guy side, which I need to try that out. That looks like it'd be fun. Some of them bad guys look like they would be really fun to play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is apparently the final Sentinels of the Universe thing that they will be releasing. So if you get in on that Kickstarter, they're going to have, like, all the promo cards that were ever made. You can get all of those. You can get a collector's box that will house all of the Sentinels of the Multiverse cards. So I'm jumping in on that one when it comes out. And that kicks off on February 9th, next week.
I'm going to have to keep up on that. Yeah, I just put in for two of them. I put in for the Explorers of the North Sea, which is same art as that Valeria. And then the Valeria had one that came out. That's probably my favorite art style. And it's all Viking stuff. So I'm Viking stuff. You can't go wrong with that.
So Valeria is one of the games that you're super excited about right now. What else? What else are you playing that's fun?
Raiders of the North Sea. That's like the second of the trilogy of the North Sea stuff.
Okay.
What have I been playing? There's a I've been playing a lot of Game of Thrones, the deck build, or the LCG. That's, it came out with a second edition, so it's a lot easier to hop into a game where it doesn't have as, you know, a gigantic card pool that you have to, like, look into. Like, if you started it with Netrunner or the Cthulhu card game or Star Wars card game, there's tons of expansions out there. So it's like, well, what cards do I need or not need to be competitive?
Well, even the Cthulhu card game, they've ended that. That's Fantasy Flight, I think, that did that, right?
Yeah,
they just ended that not too long ago.
Yeah, they start, once they get to be too big, the power creep that's involved in Magic, which is why they have the standard format.
Right.
Yeah, at some point with an LCG, you have to, because there is no other format. There's just play.
Well, I'm curious because I was talking earlier about the Dice Masters game, the new one, the one that's coming out in August, the Green Arrow and Flash one. Does Dice Masters, have you played enough of Dice Masters to know if there's power creep in each subsequent set?
I think there is a little. I haven't played a lot of it because it didn't really catch on here with the group that I have necessarily. I know that there's people that play it, but there's a Professor X strategy where you basically abuse his ability for sidekicks or something like that. And I mean, there's stuff like that. I don't know that it's necessarily game breaking, and if you know you saw an opponent have that card, you'd be wary about that kind of
thing. I know if you have the Yu-Gi-Oh blue, or what is it, blue white-eyed dragon or whatever it is, that's a pretty big game changer. My son has one of those and he's always beating me with that one. But I was thinking, I haven't had a chance to do it. I'm going to probably see if I have time this weekend. I want to get out like characters that have been around through multiple incarnations, like the Hulk has been in multiple versions, and just look and see if each subsequent version, if the Hulk is powering himself up, or if there's just a general like, hey, this character in you know, the set that included the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, that's way more powerful than, say, the X-Men versus Avengers set. So I didn't know if that happened or not. Maybe somebody else in the chat room or something who plays Dice Masters know, but that's something I was thinking about today.
That will probably happen at some point, because that's the way that they deal with, if they put out a card that was broken or somebody finds a way to abuse it, they in the subsequent set, they give an answer for that. And then after enough sets have come out, they start really becoming super wonky.
Well, I'm wondering, because, you know, we have, it seems like now with the Flash Green Arrow for August, I guess they could have one more set come out this year. So they're going to have the World's Finest, which is a bunch of Batman, Superman stuff. Then, and that's coming out in March, I want to say. And then in August is the Green Arrow Flash. There'd probably be one more DC one. I know that there's at least two Marvel ones coming out. And then I just put in the order today for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 10 that's coming up. But I'm thinking that, I'm wondering how much longer WizKids will be doing Dice Masters, or if that's something that will be coming to a close.
It might be something where they bring in a format like you're allowed to have only stuff from the DC.
That's what Wizards of the Coast did with Magic, right? Where you can only use decks from so many versions past.
So that way you don't get these weird combos, and it's like, okay, well, if you're gonna do Yu-Gi-Oh, then just get Yu-Gi-Oh, and that way the kid, you know, like younger kids aren't gonna have to go and buy the ultra rares. Like I think one ultra rare in all of my collection of Dice Masters, and it's the Constantine one, which is pretty cool. And it was a nice card, but I don't have a lot of the other ones. And I don't know how terribly powerful it is. The few games I played, it seemed to do pretty well, but I went to a different card game. There's a, most of the dice chucking that I do is involved with other ones. There's actually Garrett Weinzerl, who you may remember from Nerdtacular.
Oh, yeah.
I have most of the games that he's put out. He does a lot of the graphic design. He did the graphic design for Dice City.
Oh, cool.
Which is a really fun game where you have you roll dice and put them out on the board, and they do different things. And it's kind of it's a little bit like a city builder. You're trying to build all these different little buildings and score points, and you can have an army, and you can go trading.
Right.
But all your actions are resolved by throwing dice.
Cool.
That's where most of my dice
it comes from
nice
that.
Efforts have been towards.
Cool. Well, is there anything else you want to touch on really quick? Because we're basically at the end of the show this week.
iOS, a couple of iOS websites for you.
All right.
You were discussing that you liked the idea of maybe having a place where you could check out some stuff. I have iPadBoardGames.org is one that's pretty good.
All right. iPadBoardGames.org. All right.
BoardGamesDigital.com.
Whoops. BoardGamesDigital.com. All right.
And then iBoardGame.wordpress.com.
iBoardGame.wordpress.com.
Those are some of the sites that I would go to just to see, okay, is there an iOS version of this board game? Just because then I'm like, okay, well, I like this game and I want to take it with me. Or is there like an iOS version where I can only spend, you know, a couple of bucks and then go on and buy the bigger version?
Oh, this is cool. They've got all of them listed. I'm looking at the Board Games Digital. Now, are these specifically board games that have been turned into a digital version? I see Catan there, which we have, and I've got the Carcassonne. Yeah, it looks like these are all board games that have been turned into digital versions.
Most of it is going to be that direction. There's not very many that have gone the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just meant that they're not just throwing out any kind of electronic board game, but literally something that has something in the real world translated to digital.
Yes.
Okay, cool. On iboardgame.wordpress.com. They've got everything in there. Cool. Neato. Well, that's great. That's a great way to end out the week with those. Thank you so much, Matt, for calling in. You have a great week, and we will talk with you soon, and good luck with your game convention. Hopefully a lot of people will show up.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. Take care.
All right.
And listeners, thank you so much for being a part of Finally Friday this week. It's so nice to have you here. And so many good comments in the chat today. Thank you for those. If you have to come and go, that's always cool. I need to get that Small World app. I mean, I have Small World. I need to play it on my iPad because that's where I need to learn how to play the game. So go check it out over there at those three sites that Matt had mentioned. And until next time, thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you again when it's finally Friday. And as we get out of here, here is the credit list of everyone who is a Major Spoilers VIP. I love seeing your name show up in here, and I want to add to that in 2016. So until next time, take care and have a great weekend.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.